The Create and Thrive Podcast, episode 42, a guide to selling internationally. Make sure they know, make sure it's clear that, you know, you're overseas from them, how much time it's going to take to make their item, how much time it's going to take to ship to them. I'm Jess Van Den, and this is the Create and Thrive Podcast. A former school teacher, I turned my handmade hobby into a thriving business, and I also teach other creatives how to do the same. My goal is to help you learn how to turn your creative hobby into a thriving, profitable business. So let's get learning. Hey Thrivers, it's Jess here. Welcome to another week of the Create and Thrive Podcast. Thank you for being here with me. And thank you to everyone who sent me some lovely messages and emails throughout the week. It's always awesome to hear from you. One of those people, Mel, I'm actually going to answer your question in a whole podcast today because I thought it was a really good idea. So I'm going to be talking you through the process of sending international orders. Obviously, some of the details will vary depending on where you are, but I'm going to give you a general guide to that today, in today's episode. But before I dive into that, what's been happening? I've been working. It's been horrifically hot here in Brisbane the last few days. I've been hiding in our solar-powered home studio in the air conditioning, which I don't feel too guilty about because it is solar-powered. So the sun is actually cooling us down, ironically. but we've been hiding inside because it's been really hot. Suddenly summer has come with a vengeance. We've had a really, really cool summer. It's also been a very dry summer, which is not so great. So we're looking forward to some thunderstorms and some rain. Our dam is so low and all our plants are having a bit of a hard time without the rain that we normally get over the summer. But the weather's looking up on the weekend and Nick and I are going to hop in the van and head up to the beach for a couple of days, which will be lovely. Have a bit of swim, go out for dinner. Yeah, looking forward to a break after a very busy January for us. Running Setup Shop at the moment. We've had over 125 people sign up, so that's been amazing. In other news also, if you've been hanging out to join us in the Thriver Circle, membership for that is opening next week for 48 hours only. So make sure to pop over to the website, thrivercircle.com. Find out more about what it's all about. It's my membership community. There's over 350 of us in there, all makers at all sort different stages of business. And it's a really supportive, kind, lovely space. And we're all there to help each other grow our businesses. And I also provide exclusive workshops every month for the members of the circle that no one else gets access to. So if that sounds interesting to you, please do go and check it out. It's very low monthly cost. It's only $15 per month. I know there's a lot of other groups out there that probably charge a bit more, but I feel that, you know, I want everybody to be able to access it and I want it to be an affordable cost. So that's why it's just $15 a month. And I think it's pretty good value. I give you guys, you know, a lot of great info in the Thriver Circle. And I'm in the Facebook group every day, you know, giving my feedback and answering questions. It's basically the best way to get daily contact with me or whenever you want to ask me questions or whatever. And the group is really supportive and there's always someone there who's willing to help you out, which is fantastic. So yeah, membership opens next week and it's a pay by the month thing. You know, you subscribe, try it out for a month, see if it works for you. If it doesn't, you just leave and it's fine. There's no long-term contracts or, you know, big upfront costs or anything like that. You know, so, and everything that I've ever put in there, all the previous workshops and stuff are available to you immediately as soon as you sign up. So, you know, hop in there for a month, check it out, and if it works, stick around. I hope you do. And yeah, I think that's probably all we want to chat about for now, because you're probably hanging out waiting for me to tell you about this whole international order bizzo, right? So some of you are probably well into the whole international order part of your business, selling overseas. Some of you, however, might either not be doing it or be feeling a little bit not so confident or fearful about this. The lovely Mel who got in touch with me via email this week had a question about this. She's like, I can't find anything on the blog or the podcast about selling internationally. Do you have any advice on that? Why, yes. Yes, I do. And she also asked something specific about possible scam. So I'll get to that later in the episode as well. But I want to take you through a bit of a sort of a checklist, a bit of a system for thinking about selling internationally, everything you need to think about if you want to sell internationally successfully. So let's kick that off, shall we? So the first question you need to ask yourself is, not surprisingly, should you be selling internationally? I'm generally an advocate of everyone trying to sell internationally if possible, because obviously if you do sell internationally, I'm trying to think of a something Drupal word here, like gazillion Drupal. That's not a real word though. You basically are selling to billions of people instead of millions of people in your country. You broaden your possible customer base insanely. So, that's why it's, a great idea if you can to sell internationally. Some people, their product might be a barrier. So if you make really big or really heavy products, I can totally understand your, worry about international selling, or especially if those products are really delicate. But honestly, I've had more things damaged traveling within Australia than I have traveling overseas, and I sell like 80% overseas. So just because you ship domestically is no guarantee that things won't go wrong. I actually had this one time, a customer got in touch with me and sent me a photo of the package they'd gotten, and it was when I used to make gemstone sort of necklaces, and the gemstone had broken off the necklace. She showed me the parcel, and on the outside of the parcel you could see the tire tracks where the postie had driven over the parcel on their postie motorbike. No joke. So obviously they've dropped it, driven over it, gone, picked it up, and then delivered it. And yeah, so obviously I replaced it, and I put in a complaint thingy to Australia Post to get my money back on the parcel. So, stuff will always go wrong, and don't let that stop you. But do think about it. If you sell big bits of furniture, for example, selling internationally is probably going to be a bit of a challenge. And if you do want to do it, you just have to be smart about it. You have to go through this process that I'm going to talk you through, and it's just that you're going to have to charge what you need to charge for the shipping, and that might be heaps of money. But if you're making big bespoke pieces of furniture, I'm guessing that the sort of people who buy your stuff have money, and if they really want it, they will pay for it to be shipped. Okay, so again, don't let that stop you. You just have to work around it, and you have to be down to earth about it. And a real key with selling internationally is you need to cover your postage costs. You can't eat those costs, they're too high. But also in the same breath, don't not sell internationally because you think the cost is too high. Honestly, there are probably people out there who will buy it, and you'll never know unless you give it a shot, right? So, again, you're 100% guaranteed failure if you don't try, so you may as well give it a go. All right, so think about your size and your weight of items, and the fact that if you do sell internationally, you will rapidly increase your worldwide audience. So basically, don't let the fear or the workload stop you from giving it a go. That leads me into my second point, which is you need to do the work. Don't just go, I think it'll cost this much to ship it overseas, and just whack up a price and don't do your research. You will get burnt if you do that, because you will end up undercharging, and as we're going to talk about later, that's your responsibility, not your customers. So you need to do the work. Also, don't do the email me for international postage costs. There's no point. People, 98% of people, that is totally a made up statistic, but in my experience, most people will not bother. They'll go, too much effort, click off to the next person. People want it to be easy. You, as a seller, it's your responsibility to do the work to make it easy for them. Don't expect them to do the work. It's not their job. Okay, so you need to do the work. So what does that mean? Well, you need to decide how you're going to ship internationally. Are you going to use your regular postage system? Are you going to use a courier of some description? Do the research. Compare the prices. Look up how much your items are going to cost to ship to different countries, because it will probably vary. We're lucky here in Australia that Australia Post has a very comprehensive online price lookup service. So like I can just put in everything, you know, go to the website, put in how much, what the size of the parcel is, the dimensions, the weight, and pick the country, and it will tell me, you know, this is exactly how much it'll go to. And there are zones as well. So like different countries, there's a bulk of countries that'll be in a certain zone. So I know that I need to charge a certain amount of money to send it to that country. So you need to do that research. There's no way around it. So talk, you know, if you need help, talk to, you know, your local post office or the courier people or whatever, and get them to help you out. It's in their interest to help you, because if you're selling internationally, they're getting more money for shipping your stuff. So, you know, get them to help you out if they can. But when you, you know, go through all your products, you need to work out, obviously, you know, how you're going to package it, and then what the dimensions are going to be and what the weight is going to be. So get yourself, you know, a set of kitchen scales or a set of normal scales or whatever you need to do to actually weigh your stuff. Like package it up as if you were selling it, sending it, weigh it, see how, you know, all of those dimensions and the weight, and work out the postage cost from that. Now, if you make similar size stuff, this will be pretty easy. You probably only have to do it a couple of times. Where it gets more tricky is where you make heaps of different sized things, and then you have to do it for every single different sized thing. And that's just the way it is. But, you know, think about that. Try to minimize the weight and size where you can. So if, you know, for example, my jewelry over the years, I have actually deliberately designed my stuff so it will ship as what Australia Post calls a large letter rather than a parcel, because of the immense savings in postage. So, for example, if I want to send a large letter overseas, it's a couple of dollars, but if I want to send a parcel, it's like $12. You know, it's a huge difference in price. And the only difference, like I can have an envelope, as long as it's under 2 centimeters in height, it goes as a letter. But as soon as it goes over that, it goes as a parcel, right? So think about things like that. Like get to know the system so you can try to minimize the costs for your customer. So if there's any way that you can do that, you know, minimize your packaging weight. If you've been using, you know, newspaper or paper or something to pad stuff out, invest in, you know, some other form of protection, like bubble wrap that's lighter or something like that. So look for ways to minimize the weight and size of your parcels while still making sure your parcels will get the item there. So that's step three, is the packaging. Will it hold up? So, you know, number one, it needs to be sturdy and protective. Number two priority is how it looks. All right, so if you, you know, if you want to make it super pretty, but obviously it'll get damaged, put the super pretty inside another sturdy or practical parcel, because the outside will get buggered up, as you know, it'll get scuffed, it'll get ripped, it'll get marks on it from the shipping process. So don't worry so much about that. It's never going to get there pristine on the very outside of the package. I do your prettying up on the inside, so wrapping your item with, you know, some sort of wrapping or boxing it up or something like that. But you know, remember, number one priority, will it get there safely? I'll tell you another story about something that didn't arrive safely. So years ago now, I ordered some earrings, some stud earrings, and they were, the front of them were like little buttons, and I've made these sort of things myself, and then it just had a normal post on there. Now the seller, I don't know, maybe wasn't too experienced, but they just put them on like cards, you know, an earring back cards, and wrapped them in like tissue paper and chucked them in an envelope. What happened? Of course, when they reached me, all of the posts were squished sideways, like they were all damaged, because there was nothing in this protecting the integrity of the piece. Okay, they just got complete, because those the small items go through rollers, you know, and they just will get, they'll get destroyed. So you've got to think about things like that. Think about the sort of violence that your parcel will possibly go through between you and reaching your customer, and you need to do your absolute best to make sure that, you know, it'll be thrown, it possibly will be leaned on, it'll probably have other parcels piled on top of it. I mean, this all goes for domestic shipping as well, but with international shipping, it's just going further, so there's more time for it to get damaged. And you know, going up in a plane, all sorts of stuff. So you need to really think about your packaging and make sure that it's really worthwhile. And if you're selling domestically, do the same thing. A fun thing to do if you're not sure is actually post it to yourself. So, or post it to someone else who lives far away from you, who can then post it back to you. That's a double test, and see what happens when it reaches you. Okay, so that's a nice test. Obviously, it's not fail safe. My story of the postie bike riding over the parcel is an example of that. Sometimes things will just go wrong and there's nothing you can do except make it up to your customer, even though it's not your fault. We know it's not your fault, but that's just the way it is. Okay, so number four, communication is key to this process. I cannot stress this enough. I cannot tell you the number of times I have had customers buy stuff from me who are usually in the US, and that's only because like 80% of my customers are in the US, but it's happened for people who've been in the UK and Europe as well, who haven't paid attention to my location. So they bought something from me and just assumed for whatever reason that I'm in the same country as them. And so this was in the early days. I learned my lesson, which I'm about to talk to you about. So, and then they'll be like, where's my stuff? You know, and I'm like, I'm in Australia. I have to make it, and then it has to ship to you, and it's going to take weeks, and then they get upset, and okay, you don't want that to happen, all right? So this is where communication is key. You need to, don't assume, never assume that your customers have actually paid attention. You need to make sure they know. So I'll tell you a few things I do. So every time I have a sale, I actually send a personal email. I know they get an automatic response, you know, your sale has been completed thing, but nobody reads those things, right? Or if you do, you're probably pretty rare. So I send a separate email that's from me, or a separate convo that's from me, and I have a big message that I put in that. There's actually a blog post on Create and Thrive from a year or two ago where I talk about how I changed my customer communication. We'll try to find that and put it in the show notes for you so you can see how I changed. Like, I used to send a really short message. Now I send quite a long message because there's things I need my customer to know, and I'd rather know that I've told them. And then if they don't read it, then I can always fall back on that and go, hey, I actually sent you this message and told you this, right? So, okay, so you want to contact them and reinforce the shipping time frames and your location. So in my message, I say, you know, and it's, you know, this message has been a huge game changer for my business because I really talk to them. I tell them how much their sale means to me and my family. I tell them who we are and what we're going to do. I say, you know, we sit down in our home studio here in Australia, and we're going to make your item to order and all that sort of stuff. So I'm not being blatant about it. I'm like not going, hey, I'm in Australia. You did see that, right? I'm telling a story that I just happened to include that piece of information in. And then I go on to say, you know, once we've packaged it up and I kind of describe the packaging a little bit, talk about, you know, it'll take us this much time to make your item. And once it's packaged up, it's going to head off into the post, and it's going to take blah. So I say, you know, international orders, it could take anywhere from 1 to 3 weeks for it to arrive, you know, just so they're really clear on that. And I also put a separate section, this is really important, that tracking is not included in international orders. So I don't include tracking because that might, like, it's like $3 or $4 without tracking to send to the States, for example, but it's $20-something to send with tracking. So it's not an automatic for me. The amount of products that have gone missing over the life of my business, it's like 2 or 3 a year, and I send thousands of packages. So for me, it's not worth the business I would lose by making that tracking fee standard. I'd rather just eat the cost when I have to replace something that's gone missing, because it doesn't happen very often. And so financially and business wise, it makes more sense for me to do that. May be different for you. You may be selling one-of-a-kind items or vintage items that you can't replace if they go missing, although you could refund, obviously. So, you know, this is a personal decision, but again, try to keep the postage costs as low as possible for your customer while still covering them. Do not try to cover them yourself. It has to be part of your business expenses. So, yeah, contact them. Tell them all of that information. Make sure they know. Make sure it's clear. that, you know, you're overseas from them, how much time it's going to take to make their item, how much time it's going to take to ship to them. So this is all in it like a message. There's another thing you need to do though, and that is to make your policies very clear. So you need to, you can check out my policies if you want as an example. They're very long because there's a lot of stuff that I need to cover. I know a lot of people probably don't read them. I hope they read them. I ask them to read them. And even if they don't read them, they're there to protect me as a business owner, that if something goes wrong, I can refer to my policies and say, hey, this was here available to you to read before you bought anything from me. Okay, so a few things you need to make sure you talk about in your policies. Do put all those standard shipping pieces of information in there. So, you know, talk about how long it generally takes to ship to different countries, or, you know, internationally versus domestic. Make sure to be clear on, is tracking included? Is insurance included? Yes or no, as a standard thing. You know, if there are some that it is and some that it isn't, just say that. Say, you know, please check the individual listing to see if it's included or not. Make sure to, this is really important, make sure to put a section where you say that you are not liable for any import duties or customs charges. It never ceases to amaze me that people who live in countries where they have import duties that they need to pay suddenly are upset or surprised when they end up having to pay an import duty. I can understand it if they've never shopped online before or bought from overseas. If you happen to be the unfortunate seller who gets them the first time they buy something from overseas, you may end up getting an angry email or message saying, hey, I didn't know that I'd have to pay extra money. And so by having this in your policies, you're like, look, I'm really sorry, dude, but it's not my responsibility. As I say in my policies, it's up to the customer to be aware of any import duties or customs charges they're going to have to pay on my products if they buy them. The same goes for customs refusals. You're not liable if customs decides this thing can't come into the country. It's not up to you to know the customs laws of every country. It's up to your customer to know the customs laws of their country and buy stuff accordingly. Like, as an Australian, there are certain things I know that I shouldn't buy from overseas because they're just not going to be accepted into the country. We have really strict customs laws and rules. So, you know, it's not, as a seller, it's not your responsibility to know that. It's your customer's responsibility, and you need to be very clear about that in your policies. Don't be mean about it though. I was going to say a rude word there, but, you know, don't be nasty about it if it happens. Just be your normal, kind, understanding, but apologetic self. You know, say, I'm so sorry this happened to you, but it's not my responsibility because, and, you know, just be logical and rational and kind, but also firm. Do not be someone who goes, oh, I'm so sorry, I'll pay that for you. No, you will not. That is not your responsibility. It is their responsibility. So, you know, even if it loses you a sale, okay, don't do that sort of thing. It's not good business. Okay, so communication is absolutely key. Remember to do all of those things, okay? Another important thing for Aussies, and this probably goes for a lot of you listening who aren't Australian as well, is the whole GST thing. So if you've got sales tax issues, all right, so if you live in a state or a country where you have to charge sales tax to your fellow country people but not other people, you need to work out the best way to do that and make it happen. So for example, I have to charge GST, general sales tax, to fellow Australians because that's the law, and I have it separate because I don't want to be charging my international customers this tax that they don't need to be paying. So luckily, obviously, Etsy and a lot of online selling platforms and whatever shopping cart you use should allow you to have the tax as a separate addition at checkout. So when people go to checkout, they put in their address and the tax will pop up if they happen to live in that area. If you can somehow make this clear in your descriptions or somewhere in your website, please do, because it'll make people, it's better if people know before they get to checkout and go, whoa, what is this charge? I mean, sometimes there's just no way around that, but, you know, I have it in my policies and on my own website, ifreal.com, I've actually got it in the sidebar. So on every page it's written there, you know, Australians will be liable for 10% GST on checkout because they won't see that cost in the price. So yeah, that's another important thing to think about. You may not be at the stage of your business where you have to charge tax, but do keep it in your mind, the sales tax, sorry, do keep it in your mind that it may be something that will happen down the line and how you're going to deal with that. Okay, the next thing, this will probably happen. I'm just saying this because I don't want you to freak out about it and then not know what to do. Chances are you will undercharge at least once on your postage. Probably even possibly really badly undercharge because you've missed something somewhere along the line. You know, someone's bought something from a country that you didn't think of or whatever, you know. Even if you do your homework really well, it's possible that this will happen. If it does happen, it is up to you to pay it, not your customer. Your customer has bought your product in good faith that what you've charged them for your product and for the shipping is the correct amount of money. If you have made a mistake and it is not the correct amount of money, it is up to you to rectify the problem, not your customer. I can't believe how many times I've heard the story of someone getting a message from a seller who has said, "Oh, whoops, I'm sorry, I undercharged you on postage, can you please pay more?" What? No. that's not the buyer's responsibility. It's the seller's responsibility to do the work to figure it out from the beginning and make sure that it's the right amount of money, okay? So this might be good motivation to do the work at the beginning to make sure that you don't end up wearing the cost of a postage mistake. Also, know the rules. Here's another story for you. When I first started, like literally, I think this was like my second or third sale on Etsy ever. Way back then I did like some crochet, and this is like this crochet bracelet that I made. And I charged, what it was at $2.10 international postage or something, because back then that's what it was to send a large letter. And I'd looked it up and I'd worked that out. So I packaged it up, went to the post office with my one parcel, walked up to the counter and said to the guy, "Oh, here you go." And he went it through and he put the thing on and it said $10 something. And I'm like, "Excuse me, I thought that was, it's only supposed to be $2.10. He's like, "Oh no, this has to go as a parcel, blah, 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 it's $10. And I'm like, I was flustered because I was like, "Oh, well, the post office, surely they know what they're doing, right? So I guess I better just agree and it'll be fine." Of course, then I went away later and was like, looked up on the website again, looked up the dimensions, and he was wrong. So you need to know the rules. Like, people are fallible. He might have even been dodgy and just trying to get more money out of me because he could sense that I didn't know what I was doing. But I'll never forget that. And of course, I paid it. And, you know, I didn't ask my customer to pay it. But it was like, I think the item was like $10 or something. So it was definitely a big waste of money for me. Know the rules. And even to this day, you know, we've been going to the same post office, who are awesome, I have to say, for years and years and years. And all the old staff and the regular staff know who we are. They know us by name. We have a chat about stuff. Some of them are even on my mailing list, you know, and have bought stuff from us. But occasionally you get a newbie who comes in who doesn't know. You know better than them because you've been doing it for so long. I know the ins and outs of different types of international post and which satchels I want and which ones I don't. And like, there's one that costs $80 and one that costs $60 and they're practically the same thing and nobody can tell why they're different. But I know which one I want because it's the cheaper one. And, you know, you get a new person in who's like, "Oh, which one is that? I don't know." And if you just kind of weren't paying attention, you might end up paying more than you should because they're just going by what they think is right. So, you know, over time you'll get more knowledgeable and more confident and, know the rules of your system, whatever it is you're using, and make sure that everyone else is abiding by it and you're not getting gypped. So, bottom line, if you undercharge, you pay for it, so don't undercharge. And the last point I want to talk about, which is what Mel mentioned originally, was the whole scam thing. So some people might not sell internationally because they're fearful of the whole, "How can I trust them?" All right. Now, so talking about tracking again. Yes, if you don't have tracking, you can have people who will say it didn't arrive when it did. Okay, it's possible because there's no proof of it. In my experience, I think this has maybe happened to me once, maybe. Of course, you don't know. But because I have, this is another policy I should have mentioned earlier, I have a policy of replacement, not refund. So if something goes missing, I do not refund you your money, I send you another one. And I only send you one other one. And if that doesn't turn up, that's it. Too bad. So sad. I know that sounds harsh, but you can't just keep sending something because chances are something's gone wrong. So if something has gone missing or someone's told you they've gone missing, the first step is to confirm the address you sent it to. So, you know, message them back and say, hey, I sent it to this address. Is that correct? Please confirm. And then you refer to your policies and say what your time frame is. So pick a time frame for when you consider something lost. For me, it's 30 days for international items, except over Christmas. I extend it over Christmas because often things take longer at that time of year to arrive. And then I say, so my policy is, you know, if it hasn't turned up in this time frame, I will make you another one and ship it. And so I generally, you know, it takes me another week or so to make it and before I can ship it. And actually a few times it's turned up in that period of time. So, you know, who knows? And I've had stuff turn up. I once had an order where the replacement turned up and then the original parcel turned up later. Go figure. These things happen. So if someone tells you it's gone missing, you don't have any tracking, so you have no proof, you're trusting your customer to be telling you the truth. So come up with whatever's going to work for you. I think by having a no refund but replacement policy, you're going to avoid a lot of the scammy type people who are going to try to buy something from you and then get their money back because they can't get their money back because that's not your policy. Of course, yes, if you're selling through PayPal, they can lodge a claim. But if you have the receipt from your postal service that you shipped it, then they're not going to have, I don't think they're going to have much luck. Well, they might, you know, PayPal might refund them. And that just is one of those things you have to write off as something that's happened. And don't take it personally. Don't let it upset you. Just write it off and move on. And actually do literally write it off in your taxes. Make sure to do that as a loss. You know, something's gone missing and you haven't got the money for it. So, time frames, make sure to recheck the address. I've had it happen where people have gone, oh no, whoops, I gave you the wrong address, or oh, I made a mistake in my address. So yeah, make sure you send it to the correct address. And if you haven't, you know, they need to go try to follow it up with, if they've given you the wrong address, then it's actually their fault. So they need to try to follow it up at their end, if possible. Occasionally, you might also get something. I had an instance once where I delivered an express post parcel to someone who lived in an apartment complex. This was a domestic situation. And the Australia Post, you know, it all said the item was delivered because it's scanned, you know, when it's delivered. But the customer said it never arrived. And I said, look, I'm really sorry, but I have proof that it has arrived. So I didn't accuse him of lying. I think he was probably telling the truth. He could have been lying though, who knows. But, you know, I said, look, let's try to sort this out. Can you talk to your post office? Can you, you know, he was in an apartment building, so chances are possible that someone stole it out from under him. Do you have a concierge? Do you have, you know, post boxes next to each other? Who would have taken the parcel if it wasn't you? Stuff like that, and try to find a solution there. So, you know, again, that's just another story to illustrate what can happen. So, do that if something goes missing. Now, at the other end of things, if someone contacts you and goes, oh, you know, I can't pay via this method, can we do something different? You know, trust the warning bells if they're arising. I highly recommend if you're selling internationally, you only sell via PayPal or something similar. I mean, PayPal is probably just the no-brainer because everybody uses it. If people want to pay via credit card, they can do it via PayPal. Okay, PayPal processes credit card payments. So as long as it's going through the PayPal system, you're okay. If, you know, if you're selling on Etsy or through your own website, you know, you have to set up the selling method that works best for you, what you're happy to use, and stick to it. Don't ever do like the weird money orders or, you know, I'll send you a check in the post and things like that. I would be very suspicious about that sort of thing. Obviously, internationally, especially, I would stick to the safe, tried and true methods, you know, sell through PayPal or something like that. That way, if something goes wrong, at least you're protected, and so is your customer. So that's the thing. And also remember, guys, you are not obligated to accept every sale that comes your way, okay? You can, laws might be different in your country. I will give you that caveat. But in Australia, you have the right to refuse a sale if you don't want to make it. So if you aren't comfortable with a sale, it is okay to say, I'm sorry, but I can't finish this sale with you. I can't do this sale with you for whatever reason. And, you know, again, be polite and logical and calm and still be a nice person about it, because that's what being a good human being and a good person in business is all about, is trying to understand your customer, trying to help them to the extent of your abilities without sacrificing your policies and shooting yourself in the foot. So it's you know, all about that balance of keeping your integrity and helping your customer out, but still sticking to your guns when something goes wrong. You will sometimes get an unhappy customer. It's just a fact of life. Nobody's immune to it. It happens to me occasionally. Often, you know, sometimes it is my fault, and perhaps like something's gone wrong that I could have maybe mediated. A lot of the times it's the customer's fault. You know, the customer's not always right, but you always have to do your best to understand them, give them the understanding that they require, and try to help them solve the problem. And that's the best way to approach it. Sometimes the customer has made a mistake. You know, they haven't read a description properly, they haven't done their research, and so it's oftentimes they will lash out at you and blame you for something that was actually their fault, and that's just a part of life that you have to be willing to deal with when you're in business. So, you know, always keep that in mind. Be polite but firm and try to help them solve a problem that comes their way. And, you know, this goes with all business, and with international orders, obviously, it's no different. You know, if you can, you know, if you're selling with some, you're working with someone who speaks another language, use Google Translate. Translate your stuff into their language. Make it easy for them as much as possible to understand you, and make sure there aren't miscommunications. I generally find in business miscommunication is probably the number one problem, where somebody hasn't read something or somebody's misunderstood something, and that's where things go wrong. And it's up to you as the seller to do your best to make sure that miscommunications don't happen. And if you work really hard at this, they will be very minimal. And you'll have way more fun communicating and, you know, having a relationship with your customers rather than it just being a transaction. And that's the beauty of selling handmade. That's the beauty of selling directly to your customers. You know, you can build that relationship. You can get to know people. Even if it's, you know, a one sale transaction, I've had some wonderful, wonderful customers who, you know, I've built this relationship with over just one transaction. And, you know, especially wedding stuff, they send you photos, they say how much it's meant to them to have you part of their marriage or the wedding, and it's, you know, it's really, really nice. So always do your best to, you know, that communication is key. So I hope that gave you some guidance and helped reduce the fear about selling internationally. I know I told you a couple of stories where things go bad, but I only did that because I want you to know that it's happened to me and it's fine. You get through it, it's not a problem, and 98% of the time everything goes smoothly and there's no issues whatsoever. So don't do the whole bias of just hearing the negative. I've said, hear the positive. You know, it's awesome. I love selling internationally. My business would not be what it is without having sold internationally for many, many years. I wouldn't be where I am today if I didn't sell internationally. It's a hugely important part of my business. It's like 80 plus percent of our business is international sales. And I love dealing with people all over the world. It's so fun to see your stuff go off to someone on the other side of the planet. It's really exciting. I think it's Google. Is it in Google Maps? You can like put pins in, and I have this one where it's all pin. I've been put a pin in all the countries we've shipped to. Oh, I should have looked it up before this podcast. I'll see if I could look it up and put it in the show notes and see how many countries we're up to. It's a lot. It's like 30 or 40 countries we've shipped to now, which is really fun. Before I finish, one last thing. Different countries will be different, obviously. And if you're shipping to if you're not comfortable shipping to certain places, just don't include them on your website, you know. And if something, you will probably discover certain things about certain places with time. Like I know, for example, things often take a lot longer to get into Germany because their customs seem to be really strict or slow or something. So I always tell my German customers it might take them a little bit longer to get their stuff. And that's something you'll just learn with time. It's not something that you can know ahead of time. So don't worry about it. Just see it as a learning experience and it'll be great. So I hope I've encouraged you to kind of take that leap and sell internationally. If you already sell internationally, I hope I've given you some tips for things you can add into the process to make it run more smoothly for you and for your potential customers all over the world. Thanks so much for listening, guys. It's great to chat to you. Before I forget, remember, Thriver Circle membership opens next week for 48 hours only. If you want to come over and join us, make sure to visit thrivercircle.com and join the mailing list and don't miss out. And I think that'll do it for this other week. I'm going to go and make some earrings and then have some lunch and probably watch a Farscape, which is what we're currently working through on Netflix with our lunch every day. Science fiction for the win. Favourite TV shows are science fiction. So have a lovely week. I will chat to you next week. Get out there, create and thrive. And thanks for being here. Bye for now.